Okay, let's get started. So today, as we mentioned, today we're going to be focused on Marisa Ayin, and meaning we're sort of taking a little bit of a detour as we're going through the definition of Basar, the definition of Chalav, the definition of Bishel. So the definition of Chalav brought us on this detour toward Marisa Ayin, because one of the things that we have to define, whether it's in fact called Chalav or not, is Chalav Shkedim. How do we treat almond milk? So almond milk brings us into the Parsha of Marisa Ayin, and that's where we started yesterday. And yesterday we discussed a little bit about the idea of Marisa Ayin on the Derabanan, and how could the Rama say that there is no Marisa Ayin on the Derabanan? After all, we have Beferish Gemaras that say that there is Marisa Ayin on the Derabanan. We suggested the Pesachei Tshuva's answer that there's a difference between Marisa Ayin in general, which certainly applies to Drabanan, versus Maris Ayin B'Chadrei Chadarim, which maybe doesn't apply on a Drabanan. And we pointed out that that might be a Chumrah, that when a person visits a restaurant or a wedding or something like that, where even with chicken you're going to have a problem of almond milk or soy milk, because it's Maris Ayin that's not B'Chadrei Chadarim, and then you might have a real Maris Ayin issue. And I think the last issue we discussed of Ben Eretz Yisrael is in Chutz La'aretz for Yom Tov Sheni, so really Mikra Adin, he should not be doing any Malacha. So the issue of doing Malacha in Chutz La'aretz for Ben Eretz Yisrael is because of Maris Ayin. People don't know that he's an Israeli, and they'll think that he's violating Yom Tov. So then the Drabanan should be permissible in private, because the rule of Bechadri Chadarim, of Kol Dav Shasim Shemar Sayin Afil Bechadri Chadarim Aser, is only by Chashta Raisa. However, we point out that Rosham Zalman Asers, even by Drabanan, because the Yisuf of Dung Malach and Chutzar Tiyam Tosheni is not only on account of Maris Ayin, but Stam Chazal were extra machmir about Yom Tov Sheni. Rav Moshe, on the other hand, in Igros Moshe, or Chaim Chelek Dalid Simin Kuf Dalid, suggests a possibility that maybe an Israeli would be allowed to turn a light on and off on Yom Tov Sheni, because all the people who see the light turning on and off won't assume that he's doing it, they'll assume that he's got a Shabbos clock. That's what he writes as Ulai. He says, Avul Ulai, Kivan de Baharbe Batim Ika Sha'onim Ke'elu, Shemadikin Mechabin Neros HaChashmal Biatzmam, Shalom Ali De Maisa Adam, Shaykh Memele Betzina, Daroin Sheika Ora Yom Sheika Sha'on Kazeh. People who see are going to say, oh, that's just the Shabbos clock. So maybe that would bring it to a situation of tzina. I think we mentioned that yesterday. That's the last thing that we mentioned yesterday. It's interesting that our Moshe is using Shabbos clocks as a as a possibility to be makel over here. Rav Moshe, of course, very famously was against Shabbos clocks. He bedochak allowed it for lights, though, because he said the whole world already uses Shabbos clocks for lights, so we can't change that, so we'll allow using timers for lights, but not for anything else. Wherever the minhag has not already taken firm holding, you can't taken root in a firm way, we're not going to be makel, not for air conditioners, not for anything else, only for lights he was willing to make. Well, very, very difficult, Rav Moshe. Very difficult thing to understand why that would be the case. But that's a different story for a different time. So for today, I want to start with the comment of the Crazy Uplacy. Who was the Crazy Uplacy? Rabbi Snipeshitz, right. So Rabbi Snipeshitz was the author of a number of very, very important svarim. So Urim V'Tumim on Choshen Mishpat, and Crazy Uplacy on Yaradeya. Yonis Naibshitz, from a historian's perspective, is most famous for a machlokas that he had, for the machlokas with Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, when Rabbi Yaakov Emdin accused Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz of being a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. But we, of course, B'nai Torah, assume that Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz was one of the Gedolei Hadar, and in fact, as Rav Shapta points out, he was much greater than even Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, who was a Gadol in his own right. But Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz was the greatest Rosh Yeshiva and Rav of his time. He had thousands and thousands and thousands of Talmidim, and his Svarim are absolute classics. So Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz, though, has a perplexing comment over here. when talking about Chalav Shkedim and Maris Ha'ayim. You know, people have a problem with the Ramah. How could, like the Shach has a problem with the Ramah? How can you say that there's no Maris Ha'ayim on Basar Of and Chalav Shkedim because there's no Maris Ha'ayim and Rabbanon? We have all the time, we have Maris Ha'ayim and Rabbanon. So the other side just comes to defend the Ramah, but actually goes a step further than the Ramah. Meaning he's trying to show that that there won't be a Maris Ha'ayim problem on chicken and chalav shkedim, but what he actually shows is that there's not a Maris Ha'ayim problem on anything and chalav shkedim, even ribeye steak and chalav shkedim. Says Rabbi Yosef, it's not going to be Maris Ha'ayim. Why not? So here's his argument, and you have it in front of you for those who have the printouts. Va'ani Mosif. Da'ad kanasu chazal b'dam dogim. What's the whole source of Maris Ha'ayim? That was the sugya about dam dogim, about fish blood, where we said that fish blood does not halachically have the status of blood, but it's Maris Ha'ayim. Why did Chazal ask that mishum Maris Ha'ayim? Shehu dam legamri. Because it is blood, Rachi Torah Tira. It's just that the Torah said this kind of blood is mutter. This is the permissible kind of blood, but it is blood. V'chein Rashbam v'chalav isha shehu chalav gamur kamo chalav beema rak hu mutter. And the same is true by chalav isha. Chalav isha is chalav. It is milk. There's no denying that it is milk that comes from a mammal. So it is milk. The problem is the difference is that it's just mutter kind of milk. So b'zeh yesh lachush mishum maris ha'ayim. Aval b'chalav shkedim. When you talk about almond milk, atu chalavu. Min prihu umashkehu. It's not chalav, it's a fruit juice. You squeeze out almonds, you get this juice that comes out of almonds. It has nothing to do with milk. It doesn't come from a mammal. It doesn't come from an udder. It is absolutely not milk. It just happens to be a white liquid, but it's not at all milk. It's like a borrowed expression. They call it milk, but it's not really. You know, there's certain things that, like, legally you're not allowed to call by certain names because they're not really made of any of those actual ingredients. I remember when the Trader Joe's chocolate chips went milchig. So it was huge uproar in the Frum community. How can we how is Klal Yisrael going to survive this, right? The Trader Joe's chocolate chips becoming milk. What am I supposed to buy, like, the Lieber's brand chocolate chips? Oh, what am I, some kind of animal? Like, what do you think? How could this possibly be? So huge uproar. But one of the things people started noticing is that on the power of brand of, like, Pashkes and Liebers and Bloomies and Blooms and whatever chocolate chips, they many of them didn't say chocolate chips. They said chocolate-flavored chips. They couldn't say chocolate chips because it was so far removed from actual cocoa that that legally they weren't allowed to call it chocolate. So you have certain products that they call milk. Legally, you're not allowed to call almond milk milk because it's not. You have to call it almond milk, because if you call it just milk, people will get the impression that that's what it is, but it's not. It's just not milk at all. And therefore, he says, it wouldn't even enter the discussion of Maris Ha'ayim. The Maris Ha'ayim discussion only begins when you have a kind of milk that is mutter. So then we can talk about Maris Ha'ayim. But if it's not milk at all, you don't even begin the discussion of Maris Ha'ayim. And he says, for example, v'yayin shu b'tachlis adom. Sometimes you have wines that have different colors, different tints, and if you know wines really well, you could probably tell the difference between different wines. I can't tell the difference, I don't know. But Rabbi Yehuda Balzam likes to say that he likes to read the side of the wine bottle to know what he's supposed to be tasting, right? A hint of peach, yeah. I just taste alcohol, right? But there are people that are able to tell the difference between the darker wines, the lighter wines. So you have wine that's very, very red. The bal yat'ehu behem shetzvo kemaridam. Do you think you can't put that in your, can't use such cooking wine that's very red because, oh, it looks like blood, so you're going to call it blood? Apparently there are many herbs that look like a bunch of little shratzim. So you have to ask for those b'achila because they look like, he says, v'nishtaka davar, ridiculous. And therefore, Umosha Vitarasa Wemes. Who's he referring to? The Rama, right? The Rama is Ramosha Islas. Moshe Vitarasa, I believe on the Rama's cover, it says, Moshe and Moshe, lo kam kimosha, just like by the Rambam. Right by the Rambam, it said, Moshe and Moshe, lo kam kimosha. And the assumption was that that went forward to the time of the Rama, that Moshe and Moshe, lo kam kimosha. So, Moshe Emes Vitarasa Wemes, that's my defense of the Rama. It's not really a defense of the Rama. What he says at the end is, okay, so you want to be machmir and be crazy about this and say that chalav shkedim should be treated like milk? At least only be machmir by basar. Don't be machmir by oaf. And that's why the Rambam is perfectly fine being makel by oaf. But what Rabbi Yonah Sanhedrin really believes is that he'd be perfectly fine being makel by basar also. Right? Not like the Tain of the Shach, where he thinks that we should apply maris hayin even on a din rabbanan over here. What's the problem with this, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz? What's the problem over here?
You're saying that Marzahn doesn't really ever apply.
What do you mean?
He's saying, in terms of food, he's saying that, like, it's pretty much saying, like, you're crazy to think that, like, you know, like,
no, Marzahn does apply, like, by Chalavisha. It's Chalav, but it's not the kind of Chalav that's also with Basar. So that would be Marzahn.
No, but he's kind of limiting Marzahn in general, because he's saying that, would you think that like red wine with blood, and then he says with the spices also. Would you think you could think of that?
Right. So what? I mean, why is that inherently problematic?
This is pretty much just like limiting Marzahn.
You could limit a halacha. I think there's something more.
The whole point of Marzahn is what it looks like.
Right. I think that's the core issue over here. Marzahn is not about what it is. It's about what it looks like. I mean, Maris Hayin is not about the reality. No one cares about the reality. The problem is, what are people going to think? What does it look like? So why would it make a difference whether it's Chalav Isha or Chalav Shkedim? If they both look like Chalav, then they're both the same issue. I don't care that it doesn't that it's not actually Chalav. Maris Hayin isn't about what things actually are. Maris Hayin is about what things look like. Yes, he's really arguing on the Ramah, but he's at least saying that that the kula of the Ramah is well founded. But yeah, by saying Basar Be'im, but to be Machmir is just an extra chumma.
I don't really understand the desires either. Nobody's going to look at somebody drinking wine and think they're drinking blood, because nobody uses drink blood. By milk, if you look at somebody drinking something white, you're going to assume it's milk.
It would be highly unusual if a person drinking blood. I guess to pour some blood into his meat stew or something to give it a little, I don't know, maybe that was something that people would do.
I understand how you could say maybe that would be more assigned, but that's, you can't say that's a riot from...
Right, okay, I hear. Yeah.
Speaking very strongly, Shomos, what I took from which could definitely be wrong is more he's just trying to illustrate how far are we really going to take Marasayim to a point where you can't do anything because some person might come over and...
I understand that, but if something actually looks like milk and is used in the same way that milk is used, like Chalav Shkedim, like soy milk, why not? Why wouldn't it be Marasayim? Yeah, in Okanami, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, that's not his main taina. His main taina is that it's not milk. It's not milk. Who cares that it's not milk? It's a difficult placey. Let's go a little weiter. To understand the Isra of Marasayin, it's helpful to appreciate what Rabbi Kivager writes. And this is no gap to this Ramah, because Rabbi Kivager disagrees with Ramah. But this Rabbi Kivager is back in Simin Samach Vav. And Rabbi Kivager writes that when it comes to the fish blood, right, when it comes to drinking fish blood, so the Gemara gave a heter. How do you avoid the Marasayin problem with fish blood? What do you use? The scale, kaskasim, right? You put them together with the blood. The ispe kaskasim is the lashon of the Gemara. The ispe kaskasim does not mean that you placed kaskasim in the fish blood. The ispe kaskasim means there is. It has. It's there. So says Rabbi Kivager, that lashon, the ispe bedam kaskasim, mashma lechora, the bedam mu'urav kaskasim. That's if it's already there and mixed in with the blood. But if you have fish blood that is pure and filtered, and then you just throw some kaskasim in there, that's not going to be matir. I'm sorry, then you put some kaskasim next to it, that's not going to be matir, your pure filtered fish blood. And he said, I'll tell you even more. Ve'efshar gam likach kaskasim v'litein betoch damlo. You know what else might not work? It might not even work to take the kaskasim and put it into the cup of fish blood. It may need to be natural to the cup, to the blood. It may need to be that the blood is unfiltered, and then you just took a fish and put it in a blender, so you have a cup of fish blood and kaskasim. And maybe that's the only heter of Maris Ha'ayin, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It doesn't say anywhere that you could put kaskasim in afterwards. Oh, why? Okay, so one second. Before why, he says, but by the way, you should know the Rama disagrees with me. Which Rama? Not by blood, but by Chalav Shkeidim. Rama and Simon Pei Zayin, Avol Milosh and Rama, Simon Pei Zayin, Sim Gimel Mashmadach HaShari, Laniach Etzlo Kaskasim. It sounds from that Rama that to put scales next to the fish blood is going to be good enough, because the Rama says you can put the Shkeidim next to the Chalav Shkeidim. Then just a secondary point that's not going to be our focus right now is he says, by the way, if you cook the blood, then it would only be the Rabbanan to begin with, and then you're dealing with Maris Ayin and the Rabbanan, right? Because cooked blood is only the Rabbanan, is not Daoraisa. That's just Stama Halacha in terms of the Isser of Achilas Dam. So that might be another Eitzah, but that's not his main point. His main point, or the point that we're going to be focused on as his main point, is that fish blood in a cup is only permissible if the scales are inside the cup, and maybe even are natural to the cup, that they weren't added later, that they were there with the blood the whole time. But that's against the Rama. So what is the Nekudas Samachlokas of here, right? Why? Why is Rabbi Akiva Eiger saying this? Why wouldn't it work to put the scales? If the scales being there is good enough, why can't you put the scales in afterwards? So the lumdus of this, the Stipler explains in Kilis Yaakov, and Seder Zra'im, Simen Chav Zayin, he says, Rabbi Akiva Eiger Laman Me'a Rama, Gam De Efsha Laniach Shkei Demacha Shanir Kevar Ki Isu. Va'anidon Hu, the issue at hand is, Emishomaris ayin chazal asu hadavar bechefza uki isu drabana di alma vimkein lo yahani laniach kaskas machar kach bedam. When chazal asks Emishomaris ayin, do they declare this item as a chefza shalis? Or do they just say, be careful, don't give anyone the wrong impression? Is the isser one of giving the wrong impression? Or is the isser, don't eat this object, don't do this with this object? Why? Because you might give someone the wrong impression. Meaning, the idea of giving the wrong impression, is that the motivation for the Yisr, or is that the entire Geder of the Yisr? I understand Chazal may have told me not to have fish blood, and they were motivated by the fact that people might misunderstand and think that I'm drinking regular blood. But that was just the motivation for the Isser. The Isser is fish blood. Fish blood is us. Filtered fish blood is us. Or do you say, no, there is no separate Isser called fish blood. There's an Isser to give the wrong impression. So as long as I could figure it out, and I could do it in a way where it would never give the wrong impression, then it's totally mutter. That's the machlokas of Rabbi Eiger in the Ramah, says the Stipler. According to Rabbi Eiger, it's a chefza shel Isser. So once you have filtered fish blood, which is the chefza shel Isser, there's no being matirit. You can't add scales to it and be matirit later. You can't put scales next to it and make it mutter. It's a chefza shel Isser. But if the Rama would say, no, there's no Isra of fish blood. There's an Isra of Maris Ayin. There's an Isra of giving the wrong impression. So if you have filtered fish blood, just make sure that when you drink it, you're not giving the wrong impression. Hold up a big sign over your head that says, fish blood. And then that will be fine. No one will have a problem with that. Very similar, by the way, very similar to Machlokas. Last summer we did Bishul B'Shabbos. Two summers ago, we did Ma'achalei Akum here in Keli Masvidin. So there's an interesting discussion. Actually, no, this is going to come up in Basar B'Chalav. We're going to have this. We're going to come up with, this is nothing to do with my, There is an application of Machal Yakum also, but I'm not going to get to that. Let's do one, an application of Basar B'Chalav. Yeah? Let's talk about a case of Basar B'Chalav. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, halacha mufreshes in the Gemara, that you're not allowed to have milchig bread. That dairy bread is asur. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to have dairy bread. Why are you not allowed to have dairy bread? Why is dairy bread asur?
People eat bread with meat.
People eat bread with meat, right? Bread was a staple at every su'udah. Major su'udah has meat. People eat bread with meat. So dairy bread is asur. It's halacha mufreshes. The Gemara gives two exceptions. The Gemara says, well, if the bread is ke'ein tura, it's mutter. What does ke'ein tura mean? So the Gemara has two possibilities. Either it means that it's in such a tiny portion, like the size of the eye of an ox, ayin shalshar, ke'ein tura, the size of the eye of an ox, so it's such a tiny portion, no one would forget. Meaning, you make the dairy bread, you eat it, it's gone. No one's gonna, it's not gonna stand, it's not gonna stay around long enough to have someone forget and make a pastrami sandwich with it. Right? That's one possibility. The Gemara has another possibility that ke'ein tura means that it should be in an unusual shape. That the bread should be shaped unusually. And if it's shaped in a way that, like, only dairy bread is shaped that way, then it's going to be... That's one of the OU's heterim for giving hashkacha to Thomas's English muffins. Thomas's English muffins, I don't know if they still are, but they certainly used to be OUD. They were dairy. But it's bread! No, but it's an English muffin. It looks different than every other bread you've ever seen. So, therefore... Plus, they say, you know, they come in small portions, but, you know, those packages could last for months, you know. But the point is that it comes in a different shape than regular bread, and therefore it's mutter. What happens if you have dairy bread? You baked a big loaf of dairy bread, or a whole, you know, bakery spent all night baking dairy bread, and then they realize, hey, we have all this trefa dairy bread. So what do we do with it? So can you chop it up into funny shapes and pieces? In a bunch of D's, bread really shaped like a D, so I don't see dairy, or ches, chalavi, and then sell it that way. Can you be machshir the dairy bread after? So it's a machlokas haposkim, we'll see when we get there, believe me, there. It's a machlokas haposkim about this, but what's the nukudas machlokas? Same thing, or a similar idea. When the Rabbanan asr, dairy bread, are they asring, they're asring because you'll eat it with meat. Are they asring having bread that you might eat with meat? Or are they making dairy bread a chefza shel iser? Why is it a chefza shel iser? Because they're worried you might eat it with meat. If they're making it a chefza shel iser, there's no kashering it afterwards. It's already a chefza shel iser. There's no cutting it in cheses and d's and whatever. And it's a chefza shel iser. But if you say, no, the whole iser is not dairy bread. The iser is to have dairy bread that you might eat with meat. So then just make it that no one will ever eat it with meat. Fix it and make it that no one will ever eat it with meat. Then you avoid the issue. A very similar kind of svara to what the Stipler has over here when it comes to this machlokas from Kiva Eger and the Ramah. So that's a nice bit of lamdas. So that's what we're saying, no, right? Meaning Rabbi Kiva Eger says no. And if it's meaning if it's an Isra Chetza, no. But if it's an Isra on the Gabba, that's what the Ramah says, yes, that you can. Oh, no, there's no Isra of making bread. The Isra is you're not allowed to eat dairy bread. Yeah, there's no Isra of making it, although why would you make it if you're not going to eat it, right? Yeah, we'll get to dairy bread. It's a more Leibedic topic, a lot of interesting applications. That's why you can never really find kosher bread when you're out of, like, the major Jewish areas. Because all the bread, meaning it would be such an easy thing to give hashgacha on, you would think, right? Bread, I mean, but it's not, because many of them are dairy. According to Rabbi Yehuda,
would there be any hefer shkita?
If the almond pieces are still in the milk. Meaning you crushed up the almonds and left the almond pieces in the milk, never filtered it out. That's the only way Rabbi Kiva Eger would allow shkita.
Given a lot of use in machlokas, can't you say that, like, for example, like, bayin al bayin matzeh, right? You say that, shem yal v'yochal. So can you say one drama, if you, like, you put it in a glass box, you lock it up and make it impossible that that will happen, so can't that also, because it takes away the shemmas, then therefore it would be allowed to see it.
Problem is, and we'll discuss this, bayin al bayin matzeh is in the Daraisa.
explains the Darabana, but there's like a Shema, you might come to this.
So you have to go through the Lamdas of each of the Darabana. Sometimes the Darabana answered the item itself, and sometimes the Darabana, sometimes there's a reason for the Gzera, but the Gzera is on the item, and sometimes the Gzera is the reason. So the Ramazan is saying over here, in this case.
Or in this case.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it would mean necessarily by every Yisrael Rabbanan.
In the Kufr of Rekhi later, when he put it in afterwards, is that a case of where he forgot to do it, or just like he had in mind to put it in afterwards?
Even if he had in mind, probably.
Why?
Once you had pure filtered fish blood, that's a Chafetz Shalis.
Right, but but it's not the other side of the Ramah where you're trying to get rid of.
You are, because once it became a Chafetz Shalis, now you're trying to fix it by putting scales next to it. Or in it. I think. Rav Shechter has this tshuva, the OU Mashkichim, travel across the country, so they have Mashkichim all over the place, because they have these factories. A lot of times these factories are not near major Jewish communities. So some of these Mashkichim, like in middle America, they're in Wisconsin or something, and they have to drive 6 hours from the closest Jewish community, from whatever. They live in Milwaukee, let's say, which has a Jewish community, and they have to drive 6 hours to some factory in some godforsaken town, where all you see is Trump 2020 signs or something, they have to drive to like these, to these unusual places in order to give hashgacha. So a lot of times mashkichim spend a lot of time on the road. And because they spend a lot of time on the road, rest stops are very important. And being able to power up at a rest stop by getting a coffee. So the OU Mashkichim asked the OU Poskim at the time, when Rav Shechter wrote this tshuva a number of years ago, when Rav Belsky Zichrono Livracha was still alive, they asked the OU Poskim, the way it used to work at the OU, by the way, was they would bring Rav Belsky used to come every Thursday, and Rav Shechter would come every Friday. Rav Shechter still comes, not during Corona, but he still comes every Friday. And they bring all the they save up their shilas for the whole week, and they would go, they would ask each posek, and each one would leave notes for the other one. Meaning, like if they brought a shayla in on Friday morning, Rav Shechter would write his tshuva, he would just leave it on the desk, and then Rav Belsky would come in on Thursday, he would read Rav Shechter's tshuva, and say, either I agree or disagree. Usually it's, I disagree, but I'm going to write it so nicely that you're going to think I agree. Like over here, if you read carefully the tshuva that we did, this was like a very typical one. Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter never saw eye to eye, but somehow at the end of the day, it all sounded like they agreed. But the Mashkichim wanted to know, can they buy coffee at non-kosher restaurants, like at a McDonald's or something along their route? So Rav Shechter wrote a tshuva. I mean, the concern is Marisayim, that people are going to see a yid with a yarmulke, a beard, or whatever, go into a McDonald's, and that he's buying drinks. He comes out with a cup that has a big M on the say or whatever, the big, what are they called? The arches, the McDonald's arches on the side of the cup. It's not going to look good. So Rav Shechter writes, Al Pipshuto ain't kan baya shel marasayin. It's not a problem of marasayin. Why? A lot of people go into these restaurants having no intention of eating non-kosher food. People want to use the bathrooms. Or they want to buy Coca-Cola or something like that. And therefore, it's not a concern at all. Because no one's going to think anything. Then he says, what about kashrus? So he says, well, yeah, plain coffee, that's not a problem. Plain coffee is kosher. There's no kosher-sensitive ingredients in plain coffee. And then just agav, he says that even though he makes four more points. Number one, he says, even though the coffee comes from the same spout as non-kosher-flavored coffee, that it often comes out of the same spout, which means you risk a masha, I'll get to in a second, which means you risk a masha hu iser, coming out, meaning if they have non-kosher flavored coffee and it comes through the same machine, sometimes they have these fancy machines where you just push a button, right, and somehow it goes through the tubes in the machine and it comes out of the same spout, so you may have non-kosher flavors coming out of that same spout, so it's a mashu isri, but he says, mstama, it's batal b'shishim, and it's not a violation of bittul l'chadchila, because you don't want any of the non-kosher flavor in your, you have no kavan rabim batal, you just want the regular kosher coffee, and especially a tired driver is a chashash sakana, so you could be making. Second, he says, they wash the coffee baskets, the brew baskets, and the pots and things like that in their dishwasher. You know what else gets washed in their dishwasher? All the treifa kelim that had basar b'chalav and nevelin, treifa and every kulminei davar aser. So how could they go through the same dishwasher and then you can eat the coffee, you can drink the coffee that comes through those machines? He says, no, you don't have to worry because in every dishwasher there's detergent also. So it's a davar apo game, and once it's a davar apo game, it's not going to aser b'diavet. When you have something that causes it to be not roi l'achil, it's not going to aser b'diavet because it's no sin tam lefgam. Rebelski said that's not the metzius anyway. That's not what they do. They don't wash. They don't wash the coffee kalim in the same dishwasher. What they normally do is they just rinse it in the sink separately. So that he says, I'm not worried about that anyway. That's a major machlokas and metzius. Because a number of years ago, the CRC, I think it was the CRC, came out with a major chumrah that you're not allowed to drink plain coffee at Starbucks. At a full-service Starbucks. And I think the Star K agreed. They're not allowed to drink plain coffee at a full-service Starbucks. Why? Coffee's treif? No, coffee is kosher. But Starbucks also serves sandwiches and pastries and all sorts of things that are not kosher. And when they clean everything, they'll put it in the same dishwasher. So those dishwashers, and they did some research that the dishwasher doesn't necessarily release the pogame, the soap, in the first cycle and whatever. And so all the brew baskets might be treif. So others taina, it's not true. They don't put the brew baskets in the dishwasher. Starbucks policy is that they're supposed to rinse them in the sink. They're not supposed to put them in the dishwasher. So I have a Talmud who is a Starbucks barista back in the day. Now he's married and has a kid and he's frum. But at the time that he was a Starbucks barista, he was not yet, what do they say? FFB, BTAV, from birth, but took a break, right? So he was on his break at the time. So he was a Starbucks barista in Texas somewhere. So I asked him at the time, and he said that it's, you know, there are policies that they're strict about, but there are policies that they're not strict about. So there is like some policy about how to clean up, but no one cares. So, you know, it could very easily happen that they'll put it in a dishwasher, or very easily happen that they'll rinse it in the sink. No one really, if you used a coffee that wasn't a Starbucks coffee, okay, you'd lose the franchise, right? You can't have a Starbucks franchise if you're brewing Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Right, they would be, oh, come on, who wants to drink that water, right? They would never allow that. But if you're using, how you clean the brew basket, I don't care. That's not really something that at the time, Rav Schechter was making that as well, but he thought yeshiva bachim should be machim. That was interesting, yeah.
If you know that going to
McDonald's
to get a coffee or whatever was usher, right? Because of Shemar Zion, and you just put on like a baseball cap and that, like,
so the question is, does that make it b'chadrei chadarim, right? Is that the equivalent of b'chadrei chadarim? Right? What did we say yesterday? One possible explanation of why b'chadrei chadarim is us is because you never know when you're alone.
Yeah.
Right? So you have your baseball cap and your yarmulke sticking out of the back, and you don't realize that yarmulke sticking out of the back of the, or like the chassid at Yankee Stadium, right? With the, yeah, no one knows. Do I try to sit this out? No one can tell. Maybe that would be Chadrei Chadar. Maybe that would be Chadrei Chadar.
Wouldn't it be the same like an ice cream store that's not kosher but has kosher ice cream inside? Like, you know, the tub is from like a kosher factory.
It would probably depend on the specifics of the case. Most of, like, let's say a Baskin Robbins, where, I don't know, 90% of their flavors are kosher. There's like one or two that have like marshmallows or something that aren't kosher. So I think it's Yadua that a Jew goes into a Baskin Robbins. He's buying the kosher flavors, he's not buying the non kosher flavors. Or a Haagen-Dazs. Haagen-Dazs, I think everything. I don't know if they have any non-kosher flavors. But, you know, the normal flavors are certainly kosher. So I don't think it's a Maris Hayin issue.
Wouldn't Chadrei Chadarim still be an issue
if Maris Hayin Yeah. Chadarim would be a problem, yeah. If you hold that it's an actual Maris Hayin issue. But if you say that, this is not, no one would ever think that. It's something that's... I mean, Maris Hayin does depend on, you know, what the realities of the time are. And if it's not something anyone would ever have a havamina about, then it's not marasayin. Just two more points Rav Shechter makes, and then we'll take questions. Rav Shechter then points out that the Gemara Nevel Dezar Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis says that you shouldn't drink the coffee and the Coke in the McDonald's restaurant. It doesn't say it exactly. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to drink beverages in a place where they sell, where goyim sell beverages. Meaning you're not allowed to drink at a bar. Not allowed to drink at a bar. Most understand that that means alcoholic beverages. You're not allowed to drink at a bar. But you want to go to, you know, your company, you're a lawyer one day, you know, fast forward 10 years in the future, and your group just closed like a major deal or something, or you're working in a real estate firm or something. So they go out for drinks afterwards to celebrate, you know. So you feel like you don't want to not go with them, but, you know, obviously you're not going to drink with them. So, okay, you'll order a glass of water, you know, at the bar or something like that. Something that's pretty, or a glass of Coke. So most assume that there's no isser with that. The isser is to drink alcoholic beverages in a bar, right? But Rav Shechter said, it's yadua that many poskim hold that even a soft drink is awesome. And therefore, you can't drink a coffee at a Starbucks. So Rabelski, he left that one for Rabelski. Rabelski wrote, what? He says, Mashakasa Pasif Dalit Shekama Poskim Asru Mashka Uskalos Nelma Mimeni Deyazu Veloshimatiya Meyolam. You say that many poskim are machmir not to drink even soft drinks at it? He says, I've never seen such a posik. Va'od Milvadze Barob Mekomos Manoach Shariisi. He says, and anyway, at the rest stops, the place where you drink is not really in the McDonald's restaurant. They have like common areas to all the restaurants. So it's just where you can bring your own food or whatever. It's not really, anyway, it's not really sonogeya. But this is a major of Shechter Chumrah. For those who follow all of his Chumrahs, is a major of Shechter Chumrah. He'll say you're not allowed to drink coffee at a Starbucks because it's a place where non-Jews. The CEO, is Howard Schultz. So it's at a Jew's place. It's not a, I don't know. I don't know if he knows that, or maybe it doesn't depend on who the CEO is. It depends on, right, that's his name? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't, right, he ran for president for 5 minutes, I think, you know, at some point. He still is?
No.
So that's the, and then Rav Shechter said, at the end of the tshuva, and if you want to be such a Heilig Yid, Mashkiach is going to say, I understand it's mutter, but I'm going to be Yirei Shemayim to be Machmir al Atzmi. Don't do it, he says. Chamiru sakanta meisura, v'nishmarta mel d'naf shoseichem. You're driving a lot on the road, you have to make sure you're alert and awake, and don't be Machmir at the possible expense of getting into an accident. So Rav Shechter was Machmir pikuach nefesh over here. Not marzayin. That's a separate issur drabanan by drinking at a bar. That's a sugya naval dezara. Machal yakum. Not marzayin. Yeah. So chajik dorm won't help.
What's the maskana about places like Starbucks? Does it help if you see dishes in the sink?
Does it help? Why would that help? I mean, if you see the coffee dishes in the sink, the coffee brew, the brew baskets. You know what the brew basket is? It's like the, where they put the grind, the coffee grinds in. So the Starcase Maskana was at a full-service Starbucks where they have all the sandwiches and everything, and they actually serve them on dishes that need to be then cleaned, that you should be Machmir. Unless you're traveling, then you could be Mekil, because Shaset Chak, Kediyev Adami. Whereas at a just a kiosk that just has coffee and major and whatever dishes they give you are paper or plastic and just get thrown away, like in an airport or something, that would be mutter. That's the Starcase official policy. Yes, okay. I mean, I think most people are making, certainly against the Rav Shechter's chumra about not drinking coffee in a Starbucks. When Rabelski says, you know, I'd like to see these poskim, I haven't seen them, there was little that Rabelski didn't see. Rav Shechter said many poskim. He probably had a diuk in something. A lot of times when Rav Shechter says, yeah, it's the poskim all say, and you're looking at it sideways, upside down, you read it 10 times, you're like, where? And but Mustafa, that's what he means, because otherwise he's against the Gemara and whatever, you know, so it has to be what he means. Like a lot of times, that's what it is. I never spoke to Rav Shechter about this one and asked him which poskim, or it's like from some journal that was published by, you know, like, oh, a shul in whatever in Connecticut once put out a journal in honor of the rabbi, and Rav Moshe Feinstein put in a piece on that, and he quoted that he heard from Rabbi Pruskin, his rebbe in Russia, that, you know, so like that's the shita that he's quoting, like something that no one else ever would have come across in the first place. I don't know if that helps, because they could do it differently every day. So I think in a community you would never do it. Even then, people are like, that's just weird, right? But at a rest stop, it's yadua. That's what I would think. I don't know. Okay, a little bit more of Marisayin. What time? Okay, let's get moving here. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet then quotes from a Rashba. Shulchan Aruch writes, Asur levashel b'chalav isha. Mimei Marisayin. It's not that the Shulchan Aruch left out Marisayin. Shulchan Aruch also talks about Marisayin. But not in the context of Chalav Shkedim. Shulchan Aruch talks about Marisayin in the context of Chalav Isha. And that, the crazy place he had no problem with, right? Chalav Isha, that's Marisayin, because that's actually Chalav. He doesn't like that the Ramah invented Marisayin by Chalav Shkedim, because that's just fruit juice. But the Shulchan Aruch says, also Vashmu Chalav Isha may Marisayin, an issur to cook in a human mother's milk with meat because of Marisayin. So the Ramah in Darkei Moshe, and in an abbreviated form over here, but in Darkei Moshe, which is Ramah's Sefer on the tour, right? In the actual tour, you have the tour in the middle and then the Beis Yosef with a long commentary, and the Ramah has a smaller Ha'aras on the bottom called Darkei Moshe. Originally, the Ramah wrote like a Beis Yosef type of Sefer on the tour. He writes in his Hakdama to Darkei Moshe that he spent years and years writing a Beis Yosef type of Sefer that goes through every halach in the Torah, where it came from, what it was based on, which sugya, and what the Rishonim have to say, and he was like very proud of it, and he was about to go to publish, and someone came running in and saying, great news! Rav Yosef Kairo, the Gadol Hador, just put out a sefer. He calls it Beit Yosef, and he goes through every halach in the Torah, and he shows about all the sugyas that it comes from, and all the Rishonim. And the Ramah looked at it, and he describes in his Hakdam of Dark Emotion, he looked at it, and his heart dropped. His heart sank, and he felt like, I just wasted all my time. Who in the world is ever going to buy my book if the Gadol Hador already just published the same exact book, and I had no idea he was working on it at the same time, and he beat me to it. So, you know, all of it was a total waste. And then he said, then it occurred to him that Maran Beit Yosef is paskening mostly for Sfardim, and wherever there's a difference between Sfardi and Ashkenazi Pesach, he'll lean, obviously Beit Yosef will follow the Sephardic Pesach, so he says, I still have what to contribute to the Ashkenazi community, and therefore I'm not going to put out my whole Sefer, but an abridged version of it, where Ashkenazi Pesach differs, where there may be Ashkenazi Rishonim that the Beit Yosef didn't take into account as much. And then when the Beit Yosef further abridged his own Sefer and put out the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah was prepared to put out the Mappa, the comments on the Shulchan Aruch that he has. So in Darkei Moshe, and it appears in the Ramah over here also, I mean, that's not a Baba Maisa. The Ramah writes that Maisa. That Maisa the Ramah writes in his own introduction to Darkei Moshe. So the Darkei Moshe writes, he doesn't understand the Shulchan Aruch, he says. He says, I understand. If there's a problem of Marisayin by mother's milk and meat, right, by human milk and meat, shouldn't there also be a problem with Marisayin if you cook regular milk with non-kosher animals, with a behemah tmeah, bas behemah tmeah? I understand. The Gemara says, Gidi velo behemah tmeah, velo bas behemah tmeah. So bas behemah tmeah is not included in basar b'chalav. And therefore, there's no issur of bishul on a daraisa level of behemah tmeah with chalav. But shouldn't it at least be Marisayin? And the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel says explicitly that it is mutter to cook milk with non-kosher meat. Mutter. Doesn't say Marisayin. So why would it be Marisayin to have human milk with kosher meat and not Marisayin to have treifa meat, basar behemah tmeah, with regular kosher milk? So that's what bothers the Ramah. So the Shach says two possible answers, two mahalchim. Number one says the Shach in Sivkat and Zayin, the answer of the Rashba, that there really is an Isra of Marisayin even by milk and non-kosher meat. There is. And the Shulchan Aruch agrees that just like Chalav Isha is also Mishra Marisayin with regular meat, Basar Behemah Tmeah is also Mishra Marisayin with regular milk. the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel says mutter. Mutter midin basar b'chalav. But in Achinami, there's still a side issue to contentment of Marasai. In Sif Gimel, he was still just trying to outline the laws, of the basic rules and klalim of basar b'chalav. So you want to know, is basar behemah tmei defined as basar for basar b'chalav purposes? No, it's not. But in Achinami, it's still going to be Marasai. So even the Shulchan Aruch agrees that there's an issue of Marasai. And Shach explains, Shulchan Aruch wrote it in this way in order to teach us that meat and soy milk or almond milk is only usher because of Marasayin and not because of some other Isser Drabana. Because things that are usher only Mishra Marasayin are a little more makel than other Isser Drabana. Marasayin, we would, even for like very minor medical reasons, we'd be makel a Marasayin. We may not be makel another Isser Drabana unless a person gets to the point of Chalashayin Bo Sakana, that he's at least ill, where he's not functioning properly. But even just like a minor headache or something, we'd probably already be makel a Marasayin. So it's important to know what's Marasayin and what's not. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch wrote in this way. He didn't explicitly say that there's a Marasayin issur of cooking non-kosher meat and milk to let us know that meat and soy milk is only also Mishra Marasayin, not anything else. However, that's answer number one. Let's get to answer number two first. The Shach says another answer. And this is a great chiddush. A great chiddush means hard to read into the Shulchan Aruch. It's very hard to read into the Shulchan Aruch. He suggests the following: that according to the Mechaber, there's never an Isser of Marasayin by Bishul. Bishul is never going to be a problem with Marasayin. You could cook almond milk and meat. You could cook non-kosher milk and meat. You could cook non-kosher meat and milk. All of that's mutter. And that's why in Sif Gimel, the Mechaber says, you can take Basar Behemah Tmei and cook it with regular milk. Mutter, mamish mutter. Mutter, not just Mishum Basar B'Chalav, mutter, can I do it? Yes. The rabbi says, yes, you can do it. And cooking mother's milk and meat is also mutter. That's not the Maris Ha'ayin that the Mechaber is talking about in Sif Dalet. The Maris Ha'ayin the Mechaber is talking about in Sif Dalet is about eating mother's milk with meat. It's about achilas basar with chalav isha. What's the lashon of the mechaber in Sif Dalet? Aser le vashel b'chalav isha. He means aser lechel. Well, yeah, because the Torah also says lo sevashel gedi b'chalav yimo, but it doesn't only mean bishul; it also means eating. So here also. And he explains that by cooking non-kosher meat and milk, or non-kosher milk and meat, there's no problem with Marasayin, because they're usher in their own right. Non-kosher meat is usher anyway. So it's obvious that you're not cooking it to eat. Meaning no one's going to think that you're cooking it to eat it in the first place. And therefore it's not a problem with Marasayin. Difficult to understand what that means. Meaning, so what, I'm not cooking it to eat it. But cooking it itself is usher. Right? I mean, just cooking it is usher. So that's what some of the Achronim say. No, it means that Chazal are only going to asr an act of cooking if it will lead to eating. But when cooking non-kosher meat, it's unfathomable that a person would ever eat it. So therefore, they're not going to asr the cooking Mishum Marasayin, because the cooking's not going anywhere anyway when one of the ingredients is not kosher. Wow. So those are the two approaches of the Shach. So let's just quickly summarize everything we just did today, and then we'll take questions, then we'll move on if there's time. So as a quick summary, cooking milk and meat together, right? Simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch: are you allowed to cook non-kosher milk with meat and vice versa? Simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch: yes, mutter, right? That's Sif Gimel. Simple reading, mutter to cook non-kosher meat with milk, non-kosher milk with meat, mutter. What about Marasayin? That's only by mother's milk. Only mother's milk is Marasayin. That's the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. The problem is that leads to a question. Why? Why would mother's milk be any different than non-kosher milk or the non-kosher meat? The Rashba says that there's an issur of Marasayin even by non-kosher milk and meat. The first answer of the Shach, right? The Rashba. That even by non-kosher meat with regular milk or non-kosher milk with regular meat, cooking together is Marasayin. The Ramah would say that there's an issur to cook non-kosher milk and meat, and vice versa, because of Marasayin. And there's also an issur mishum Marasayin to cook mother's milk and meat. Right? It's all the same. And that's why the Ramah has a hasaga on Siv Dalet. He says, wait, why did you just wake up now with Chalavisha? You should have mentioned this already in Siv Gimel. Because the Ramah holds it's all the same Marasai. The Shach would say what? Cooking? Cooking itself is never Asa Mishamarasai. I mean, the Shach in the second answer. Never Asa Mishamarasai. What's Asa Mishamarasai?
Achiva.
There's never an Isra Marasai when it comes to cooking. And the Shulchan Aruch said yes. He meant achiva. What about actually eating now? So, as far as eating is concerned, non kosher milk and meat, or non kosher meat with milk, they're Asa because they're not kosher, right? So you can't eat it, right? Obviously. What about chalav shkedim or chalav isha that was cooked together with meat? Can you eat it now? So Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, but the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Dalet says, v'imnafal l'toch hatavshil batel vein tzaruch shir, that if mother's milk or soy milk gets mixed into a meat stew and the milk is not noticeable, it's batel, you don't even need shishim. But if it is noticeable, apparently the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say explicitly, sounds like it's going to be asu. So if it's noticeable that you have meat and mother's milk or soy milk, it sounds like that's going to be awesome. And the Ramah says that by meat you need a heck or by chicken you don't. Right? The Chalav Shkedim depends whether you're eating meat or chicken. The Marshal had said even by chicken and soy milk you would need a heck or because we apply Marasayim even to Dinim Drabanan. That was yesterday's Shach, according to the Marshal. And remember the Nachlas Tzvi? It depends, private or public. Then the crazy placey, at least based on his argument, soy milk is not milk. And there's no Isra Marasayin Bechlal by soy milk. Chalavisha, ooh, that's milk. So that you have Marasayin, Bas Behema, Bas Rov, everything. Yeah.
So if what the Shach is saying is that there's no Marasayin by Bishol because you're looking at the tour or whatever, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch is saying that it's okay to cook the Himachaya with milk or
you can't eat it even for a four.
I'm saying,
you have to be choloshish basakana. Meaning, man is dangerously ill. Yeah, tell me.
Both answers of the Shach are trying to stay
there. Are trying to. The Mechabe. The Ramah's Kasha, the Mechabe. Right, meaning the Mechaber said, I'm worried about Marasayim with Chalamisha. The Ramah says, hello, where were you in Siv Gimel when we were talking about Basavei Matamea? Why weren't you worried about Marasayim
that? That second answer would have worked for the Ramah, though, because the Ramah says that it's
Pasur Basha, Makhila. Yeah, in this is the Shach answering for the Mechaber. The Sheet is the Mechaber. Yeah.
What about the Rashba that the Shach was doing?
Yeah.
There's a chil between. You want this to be like the most sound right? There's a chilak, or maybe a source in the Quran says that there's a chilak between
Marasayin and other Yisurim Drabanan.
Yeah, because between almond milk and human milk versus Tony milk. Because Tony milk looks greenish.
Yeah.
So when they're more mustard, we rely for that, and then you could and like yeah.
What about Tamei Basar? What about Tamei Basar? To say it looks different.
What
about Tamei Basar?
It
looks different.
It looks different.
Yeah, so that would be another answer.
He says that the Rishon Yitzchak, why not that one?
I guess because it doesn't really look so different. You have to look really close. You probably have to do a side by side comparison to see the difference, to notice the difference. And I don't know, would you know, you ever see like sliced ham in when you go to Walmart and you pass by like the oh. It looks like a turkey. I don't know. Is it so obvious? I don't know if it's so obvious.
According to the Ramah, that we. Going back, said that Marasayin is more of a Jabra. Can I cook with Chalav Isha? If I just put a big oak tag that says Chalav Isha next to my pot.
Meaning if you hold that.
If I make it obvious, and it's Gabra.
The Ramah would say only if you're cooking it with chicken, right? Then it would be like putting the Shkedim next to it. Right. or if you have you keep like a pump on the deli counter or something like that. Okay. I don't know what the equivalent would be of having shkedim. All right. There is a many achronim. There are many achronim that just point out just what should be a matter, a point of fact, that if a certain food is known not to contain real meat or real milk, then you can eat it with other food of the other of the opposite min. Meaning, if it already becomes so well known that there's such a thing as parva ice cream, then it's not a problem to eat parva ice cream after you finish it. Impossible burger. What? Oreos is just, you know, that it's not real milk. You're saying that they don't milk in it. Yeah, so you could have non-dairy ice cream after a fleishig meal. You could fry a soy hot dog in butter. And once something is known, the question is, at what point does something become known? Like, I don't know, how many people in America typically eat soy hot dogs? I don't know, in Israel, I remember in Yeshiva, in Keren B'Yavna, like, the food wasn't always so geschmack, right? But like, we came to the lunch, you know, to the Chadar Ochel one day, and we saw hot dogs. And we were like, oh my gosh, thank you. And then like we saw milk. And we were like, oh no, those aren't hot dogs, are they? It's like, okay, I guess it's another sandwich maker day. But that first excitement. Yeah. So in Israel, apparently it's a thing. But I don't know, do people eat so many soy dogs in America? I feel like people who eat soy don't do hot dogs.
Burgers.
The fake burgers, the impossible burger, which, by the way, not so impossible. It doesn't really taste like meat. I don't know. I didn't find it to be so so great.
Then why also all these stores can have fake cheese and fake bacon?
Yeah, the stomach. Yeah, bacon. Yeah. Should we start the next topic? And then, no, yeah, tiny yes. Maybe I'll just introduce what the next topic is going to be about. And tell you what to look at for tomorrow a little bit. Next thing we have to do is define bishul. So what do I mean define bishul? Bishul is cooking. So what does it mean to define bishul?
Well, there's different ways to cook something.
Like
roasting,
frying,
boiling,
boiling, toasting. Right, all of these things. So are they cooking in a microwave? Is that bishul? Is the definition of bishul going to be the same when it comes to bishul b'shabbos and when it comes to bishul basar b'chalav and when it comes to bishul akum? Right, those are the three major halachos of bishul. Bishul akum, of course, is only drabanan. But are we going to have to be consistent in our definition of bishul? So there's an important sugya to look at in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Maybe I should I'll find a way to get you a copy of that because we don't have so many Gemaras Sanhedrin over here. But Sanhedrin Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and there's an important Rashi over there, an important Tosfos over there, and also Shabbos Daf Lamed Tesem Bet Aleph. Just in terms of defining what Bishul is and the comparison between the two, between Basar B'Chalav and Shabbos. And then, as far as microwave cooking, there's a very important comment of the Eglei Tal. B'li Nedar, I'll try to get you the Mar Makom on that. And Rav Moshe in Aruch Chaim Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Beis, and that machlokas Eglei Tal and Rav Moshe about how to teach up a Rashi in Maseches Sanhedrin might have major ramifications as far as cooking in a microwave, or as far as you ever hear of REMs? Yeah, you know what those are. Wait, for camping, or if you're a chayal or something, and you want to heat up food. Ready eat meals, yeah. That they you put in some chemical and somehow it makes things hot and then you warm up your food that way. So is that bishul on the Darais level? So Bez Hashem, we'll get to all of that stuff tomorrow.